faith is going to drive everything. That there's no distinction between our religious life, our church life, our faith life, and our real life over here. It's bringing our faith into our everyday life, not just a religious event. Faith is not just an event, it's in our identity. And so we talk about helping our children develop a faith that lasts. That faith can't be just this sidebar. It can't just be part of their life. It needs to be their life. But as always, it starts with us. We have to do that first. Instead of just defining that, we went on a journey. Episode after episode, we looked at aspects of this.
Our children are leaving the faith in droves.
As a result.
Oh, I got a pause here.
We're going live right now.
How can we raise our kids to stand firm, have a faith that lasts, and navigate such a time as this?
Our nation's capital has just been...
To turn a nation, you have to take the next generation.
Today in the news, COVID-19 numbers.
I'm Jake McCandless, and this is my podcast, Stand Firm Parents. We're working together to help our children have a faith that lasts.
And now, here's Jake McCandless.
Today we complete something. Do you like completing things? Checking something off the list? Wrapping it up? Well, we're going to do that today. We are wrapping up the longest series that will probably be in the history of Stand Firm Parents. And that is talking about developing a fully integrated faith. After our first book, Spiritual Prepper, came out, I was working on my second one. And a magazine interviewed me, a writing magazine, and they asked, what's been your greatest accomplishments since the book has come out? And I turned in a list of all the TV series that I have binged and watched when I should have been writing. And so we've been on a long binge on looking at what makes a fully integrated faith. I hope that you've tuned in, you've leaned in, you've gotten curious. So when we talk about developing a fully integrated faith, we're talking about our faith, our following of Jesus, infusing into everything we do. And I like to flip it. It's not like we're just putting the faith in everything. Rather, the faith is going to drive everything. That there's no distinction between our religious life, our church life, our faith life, and our real life over here. It's bringing our faith into our everyday life, not just a religious event. Faith is not just an event, it's in our identity. And so as we talk about helping our children develop a faith that lasts, that faith can't be just this sidebar. It can't just be part of their life. It needs to be their life. But as always, it starts with us. We have to do that first. Instead of just defining that, we went on a journey. Episode after episode, we looked at aspects of this. We started with the solo one, just me. And I talked about tools versus endgame and was really picking on a family devotional. Not that I'm against that, but I have found within family ministry with Stand Firm, as I'm working with parents who are being intentional, often it comes to, you know, what are you doing for your family devotional? What are you doing for your family worship? Which is awesome. If you're doing that, that's great. But getting to a family worship service or a family devotional, that's not the end game. That devotional, that time of worship, that is just a tool to help our children be lifelong followers of Jesus. And as Christians in modern Christianity, we have a tendency to make a tool the actual end game. Unfortunately, we often do that with church. We make it about being a church goer, church participator, instead of a everyday follower of Jesus. So that's where we started, contrasting the idea of, okay, just doing a religious, a Christian activity, event, even if it's great, and recognizing that as something helping us for the longer, bigger picture, the end game. And then what I wanted to do was to bring in perspectives from Christianity around the world in other places, how it's been expressed, and throughout history. And so first, we went around the world with the president of BMA Global, Dr. John David Smith, and from him, we got lessons from the global church to help us have a fully integrated faith. And he talked about two things. He talked about when you look at the church globally, what you see is a simple faith. They're not adding a lot to it. They're just simply obeying and following. And holistic, meaning they're bringing it into their whole life. Another way of saying that is fully integrated faith. Then we stayed international as I talked to my friend and my favorite Israel tour guide, Catherine Vanderbeck. And we talked about, of all things, seeing deer, seeing ibex in Israel, but was talking about something that she talked about quite a bit when I was in Israel with her. She talked about a Hebraic mindset, a biblical mindset that sees God in all things, good or bad, big or small. And so as you begin to fully integrate faith in your life, it's also taking on this, how does God see things? God's not just looking at our church life or our faith life. He's looking at everything. He cares even about us seeing deer. Then we talked to my friend Darren Huckey and looked at lessons from the first century discipleship, his book, Four Responsibilities of a Disciple, and looked at, hey, this rabbi-disciple thing Jesus was doing, he didn't create it. It was something ongoing. So what does that look like in context of that first century in Judaism, and walked us through that? So we talk about having a fully integrated faith, because where we're at, when we talk about discipleship, you pick up a book on discipleship, it's this modern practical idea that we're like, okay, this would be a good way to do that. Well, Jesus had a specific way. I think he even had a specific plan. When you go and you read Matthew 10, when he sends out the 12, and Luke 10, where he sends out the 72, he has a plan. We see that plan also with Paul. But so we look back at first century discipleship, and part of that was following Jesus, literally following him, learning his teachings, obeying them and following them, and committing to helping someone else follow him. Then we went back international to the Middle East, talking with Joel Richardson, New York Times bestselling author, talking about the underground church in the Middle East, specifically in Iran, and talking about what's setting them apart. Why is the gospel exploding there with the underground church that's being persecuted? And what can we learn? And again, he talked about the simplicity that they had, the devotion and the obedience, the total obedience that they had. Then we came back to the States. We talked with Rob Wegner and Brian Johnson of KC Underground, and we talked about how they're doing this model that they're doing in the Middle East, in the underground church, this disciple-making movement, Discovery Bible Studies. We talked about being the release church and talked about what does it look like to make disciples in our own context, in our neighborhoods, in our networks. Again, that idea of bringing in mission and discipleship and disciple-making into our everyday life. Then we went to uncharted territories as we talked with Michael Hendricks and Dr. Jim Wilder. And we talked about the other half of church. We talked about brain science. We talked about emotional maturity and looking at what can we learn from brain science about fully integrating faith into our lives. Fascinating conversation. And then you heard my journey, which I'm sure was incredibly inspiring for you, desiring to fully integrate faith into your life. And when I talked about my journey, I talked about really when God got a hold of me in high school, captivated me by Acts 2, reading about this early church and just the fire that was happening. Lord's adding to the number daily. They're just in awe. They're just in wonder. I remember my first sermon there at age 16. I preached a sermon called The Separation of Church and Self. I guess mid-90s, late 90s, there's a lot of talk about the separation of church and state. And so this idea, we don't separate our faith from ourselves. So it's like what I was talking about in the beginning, of ministry. I'm still talking about, you know, maybe can say it better now, fully integrated faith. I don't know. Maybe separation of church and self was a little bit better. You know, I'm sure I was throwing out verses like, you know, not to be lukewarm, and verses like making ourselves a living sacrifice and those type things, giving our all and living for the Lord, surrendering, obedience, all of that true. But I had a misconception in those times. And I don't want us to walk through the journey we just had and continue in this misconception. We have a bad tendency, and this comes back from the Greek world, Greek philosophy that's invaded into Christianity. I think also the separation of the Hebrew roots of Scripture and adopting more of this westward thinking. But we have a tendency to see, okay, we've got the spiritual world, we've got spiritual things, and then we've got the material world. And that young preacher, me, who desired so strongly to see the churches I knew look like Acts 2, I saw a very stark contrast between the spirit world. So when I talked about being, not being lukewarm, being on fire for the Lord, live fully for Him, totally surrendering and obeying Him, I saw that in only doing church stuff. My mom actually called me out on it. And it really wasn't years later till this really actually registered with me. We really shouldn't let people like me at 16, 17, 18, early 20s preach. I wasn't married, had no kids. I'm living in a dorm, living with my parents. You know, come on. What do I know? But I remember saying this statement, and I'd heard another preacher say it, and I just stole it, that you can know our priorities and our commitment and our obedience to the Lord, if you look at our checkbooks, remember those? Checkbooks and calendars. My mom caught me afterwards. She said, Jake, if you took my checkbook and you took my calendar, yeah, it's going to have church on it. It's going to have God on it. But the number one thing it's going to have is what I'm doing for my family. I really didn't know how to answer that. And it's really been late on this journey that I begin to understand and see that. There's not a separation between the spirit world. Well, there is the spirit world, the physical world, but from spiritual things. If you're going to live totally for God, that doesn't mean you're just going to do spiritual church stuff, but rather you're going to follow Jesus in your everyday life. Now, that does require spending time with the Lord. It does require having a relationship with Him, knowing His word, walking with Him, walking in the Spirit, and walking in obedience. There are times He calls us to leave our lives and go maybe be a missionary somewhere else or to do something like that. But often He calls us to be where we're at and to follow Him as we go to our work, as we parent, in our marriages, in our relationships, at ball practice, piano practice, band practice. I'm just going through the list of stuff I'm doing this week. In our friendships, in our work environment, we follow Jesus there. We bring our faith there. We don't just bring it in there to enhance us. Rather, we're letting it drive us. Do you see the flip there? I hope that makes sense. I hope you caught my journey, because one of the things about my journey was, man, I have spent my whole ministry just focused on being sold out. We need to be. But being sold out isn't just doing churchy stuff, religious stuff. Part of being sold out for Jesus is becoming a better man, becoming a better husband, doing more at the house, being a present father, not being a jerk at work, not being a jerk in your yard, not being a jerk to your neighbor, talking to your neighbor. And the list could go on. You're listening because you want your kids, your grandkids, the next generation to stand firm and have a faith that lasts. If that faith is just an accessory, and if that faith is just focused on the churchy, religious-y stuff, and it's not Jesus invading every aspect of our lives and us letting Him in and transform us in those areas, then we're not fully integrated. Parents, it starts with us. So what's the first step? The first step does sound churchy. if you do not have a regular time, concentrated time, near daily, regularly with the Lord, you need to. Quiet time, devotional time, whatever you want to call it, transformed my life in eighth grade. Fast forward, 2014, me and my wife made a commitment. We would not finish the day and go to bed without having time with the Lord. We begin to prayer journal. Again, it can look completely different, but a time when you're reading His Word, seeking Him, that regular time, and that's not the end. That's a tool. We were just talking about this in my home the other day with my kids. It's not like the quiet time is my time with the Lord. Rather, it's a primer for the day, and that pray without ceasing, that walking with Him throughout the day, walking, staying in step in the Spirit. I love it. And Galatians, the Apostle Paul talks about that. That's the first step. One of the most intimidating speaking gigs I ever got was I was speaking at a women's conference, only dude there. My wife hooked me up with this gig, and I was talking about spending time with the Lord, and I took my stack of prayer journals. I think at that time, it was about like this. And I raised it up, and I'm like, look at these prayer journals. And I looked like this super religious person. At that time, I'd been following Jesus 25, 30 years. One of those journals represented 23 years. The rest of the stack was the last two or three years. It's a process, it's a journey. Again, you don't have to journal. You have to, it can look different, but start with that primer with the Lord regularly and then obeying. So you're seeking Him constantly and continuously, and then you're taking steps of obedience as He reveals it in His Word, as He speaks through His Spirit. You take those steps of obedience. Now, maybe you've got that. So where's the next starting point? Maybe you've got that down. Let's say we all need to back up and say, have I obeyed everything He's laid out? I think the next step, especially if we're talking family, in our relationships, our marriages, and our family begins to, are we having faith conversations? It's great we're spending time with the Lord, but is that leaking out in our conversations? You may have to be intentional for a while. I love it. My wife, it doesn't matter who she's talking to. If she's talking about how she came to a decision, she's going to drop that she was praying for it and all this stuff. And sometimes I'm like, well, I don't think this person, you know, really was interested in knowing, you know, all the steps you prayed about coming to this decision. But it just leaks out of her life. And then steps about, okay, the Lord's leading me in these directions, and these are the steps I'm taking. Sharing that in your relationships and your marriage and your family, your friends, workplace, just conversation. You're like, hey, that happens. Maybe what's the next step for me? Well, I think a next step is to begin to have some of these things that you would do at church, study the Bible, worship, whatever that may be. Begin to have that in your everyday life, in your home. Read the Bible with your spouse. Pray with your spouse. Read the Bible together as a family. Again, I think our tool, Epic Roots, is something to lean into that can help with that. One of my theories is if you can't do it in your home, we don't need to do it in a church service. Sounds a bit odd. But it then takes the Bible study, and it takes the elements that these disciplines of our faith, and then puts them in the everyday life context and invite others to join you, maybe a friend, extended family. Okay, maybe you've done some of that. What's the next step? Well, it's being on mission. And we can't talk about being on mission if we haven't talked to our next door neighbor, our coworker. It's just to start having conversations. Maybe you pray for God to give you favor in that, and you have those conversations. You just start functioning in life, and then you begin to make decisions about your life. Like, as a family, we sit down and like we're like, okay, these are the activities that we're involved in. Lord, is this what you want us involved in? We've chosen some seemingly worldly type, not sinful, but like non-churchy activities that we've chosen to do because it puts us in contact and relationship with other people versus doing more churchy stuff. It's following the Lord's lead in that. All that sounds simple, sounds basic. But again, all of it's not building for us to be religious, for us to check boxes, but rather for that faith to then invade and drive our life. And we say faith and we talk about, I keep using the word faith, fully integrated faith, and that's not even really correct, because what we're talking about is your following of Jesus, your relationship with him. It's got to be personal. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. And it needs to be in your everyday life. Parents, move to fully integrate faith. We're wrapping up this series. This will be something we always come back to and hit throughout this process. Again, be watching. We're going to have some workshops coming up for our Epic Roots program to help your family begin to integrate these things, to be rooted in truth for life, and to be on mission as a family in your context. We've got an incredible two-part conversation coming up with Pastor Andrew Brunson talking about persecution coming up. We're going to be diving into emotional health. Excited about some of the things coming up. We've got some more tech tips helping us navigate our kids and tech. So keep watching, keep listening, stay connected. If you hadn't followed us on Facebook, please do. That's our main contact, Stanford Ministries. But take the step to have a fully integrated faith. You've been listening to Stand Firm Parents. Stand Firm Parents is a production of Stand Firm Ministries in partnership with LifeWord Studios, created by Jake McCandless and Brandon Harrington of Dime Collective. Again, thank you for listening, and be sure to subscribe, share, and most importantly, stand firm.